Well, we turn again tonight to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, and we'll read tonight verse 24 and verse 26. Let us hear God's word. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And then verse 26, and he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And then just before we begin to look at these words, we turn to Hosea chapter 12 and the third verse and verse 4. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. And you see there in Hosea, we're given a little more detail to this account here in Genesis 32. Dear congregation, in a humble, penitent way, we are to seek the Lord's blessing. In a gracious and merciful way, the Lord blesses those that love him, like Jacob here of old. And we return tonight to this account at Peniel. You recall in verse 24, having sent his family and certain possessions over the brook before him, he was left alone. And we're told simply, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. He wrestled, he was engaged in this wrestle. And as we saw last week, it was the angel of the Lord. And as we noted in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4, he had power over the angel. And then in the third verse, we have mentioned there he had power with God. So there's no doubt here. He's the angel of the covenant. He is the Son of God. Here was a pre-incarnate appearance of God the Son, the Lord, not in the nature of an angel or man, but the form. So here then is Jacob wrestling with the Lord. He engages the Lord in a wrestle. And we believe as the wrestle goes on, he's aware that this is no mere man. He's wrestling with the Lord. Well, last week we considered, first of all, engaged. And oh, what grace that he was allowed to engage in this wrestle. And we're to be reminded of grace every time we pray. It's of God's grace, isn't it, that we can truly pray. When we truly pray, as we will consider in 2 weeks' time in Matthew, and our hearts are engaged, it's all of grace, isn't it? We don't deserve the blessing of prayer. When we engage in true prayer, it begins with grace. We consider, secondly, persevering. He wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. He persevered, even when the hollow of his thigh was out of joint, as we notice in verse 25, when it was much harder for him, he persevered. Pray without ceasing. We read there in Thessalonians 5. Thirdly, humbled. How he was humbled when the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of his thigh was out of joint. He's nearer the ground now. He finds himself often on his knees, clinging on. He's humbled. And it's good when we are humble in prayer. We humbly wrestle with the Lord. And then fourthly, last week we considered he was earnest. And those well-known words, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I don't know, have you like me this last week thought of those words in prayer? I will not let thee go until thou bless me. They're precious words, aren't they? They help us to further pray. I will not let thee go till thou bless me. And as we shall see tonight, the Lord blessed Jacob at Peniel. Well, tonight I'd like us to consider, first of all, penitent. He was humble, but he was also penitent. Secondly, blessed. He desires blessing, and blessing he received through the gracious hand of the Lord. And then thirdly, preserved. And with that in mind, just come with me to verse 30 and verse 31. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. His life was preserved. And there's a new day now, and he goes forward, having known preservation. And are we not thankful? The Lord preserves his people. He will preserve them to the appointed time when they find themselves home in heaven. Well, let's consider first of all tonight, penitent. Jacob was penitent here at Peniel. Come with me to verse 26, or chapter 32. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And then verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now we consider there he was making supplication. With that in mind, turn with me to Hosea 12, verse 4. For we're giving a little more detail of when he made supplication there at Peniel. Hosea 12, verse 4. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed, as we've seen here in Genesis 32. But then we read this. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. So you see, as he was wrestling, and particularly as he becomes earnest, and he says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He makes this earnest supplication. Hosea informs us that he was weeping. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we've given that insight a little further through Hosea. He wept. I will not let thee go till thou bless me. And he was weeping. And as we saw, he was humbled at Peniel. He stood strong. But then the hollow of his thigh was touched by the Lord, and it was out of joint, and now he's struggling. He often finds himself near to the ground on his knees, just clinging to the Lord. He's been humbled there at Peniel. And he knows great weakness, as we see in verse 25. And in weakness he makes his supplication, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He's in great discomfort, but he wrestles on. He's been brought to his knees. He clings on, though. He's humble, but he's also penitent. He feels his weakness now as he wrestles there. He's been humble, but he's penitent. He feels his weakness, his unworthiness, and he's weeping. He's weeping not really because of the pain, but because he feels his weakness within, and he feels his unworthiness. And further, he's really earnest. He's so weeping as he prays for blessing. He knows he needs the blessing of the Lord. He's pleading. Listen to the Puritan Matthew Paul. With a sense of his own worthiness, and with earnestness of the mercy he desired, he wept. So he's been humbled. He's been brought to his knees, as one of old has written. There's no pride in him. He recognizes his unworthiness there at Peniel. And he weeps. He weeps because he's so desirous of blessing. He weeps because he feels his unworthiness. There's no pride in him. The Lord has dealt with him. Sadly today, so many are self-righteous. They think themselves strong. What about you? Has the Lord humbled you? Dear child of God, he's humbled you by grace. Perhaps there's someone listening on, you haven't been humbled. You say, well, I can go on in my own strength. We can't. We need the Lord's help. Or that you would be a mountain brought low through grace. In Luke 3 verse 5 we read, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made smooth, We think there that obstacles are removed, things are put in place, there's a way made for the Lord to come. Think of the mountain, it's brought low, and the hill, those in pride are levelled by grace. Those who are humbled are lifted up to see the Lord. Have you been levelled by grace? Well, here's Jacob. He's been humbled, but he's also penitent. There's sorrow in his heart. He weeps there at Peniel, as we see in Hosea 12, verse 4. So consider the scene here now. He's been humbled. He's on his knees so often, wrestling now. He's clinging on, and he's weeping. He knows sorrow in his heart. Yes, he earnestly prays for blessing and weeps because of that, but oh, he knows sorrow in his heart. He mourns over his sin. It's believed, as already mentioned, he's aware now that this was no mere man he was wrestling with. He's recognizing the Lord, and he mourns over his own sin. Have you mourned over your sin? Have you wept over your sin? At least you've wept within your heart over your sin. Have you considered your unworthiness and the need you have of God's favour? Remember again the lady who came in, she came in weeping. She felt her sin, but she also desired the favour of Christ, did she not? One is penitent in gospel repentance. They feel their sin, yet they turn to the Lord for mercy. Consider the scene here. Here's Jacob, he's wrestling, he's been humbled, but he's also penitent. He knows sorrow within, but he's still wrestling. He's still looking to the Lord for blessing. Have you felt your sin? Have you mourned over your sin? Remember Job in Job 42 verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Dear unconverted friend, by nature, all are sinners under condemnation. How one needs to mourn over their sin. But then we who love the Lord, we who are justified, we're not perfect. We sin against the Lord. We find ourselves saying with David, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Do not we mourn over our sin? Consider the scene here. Jacob, he's wrestling with the Lord and he's weeping. As we pray, do we mourn over our sin? You know, the Lord exhorts us to seek forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. You see, we're to seek forgiveness. There's to be a grief. There's to be a mourning over sin as we wrestle with the Lord in prayer. When did I last truly say sorry to the Lord? I remember as a boy, there were times when I said sorry to mum and dad just to please them. I didn't want them to get cross any longer. I just wanted to please them. But there were other times I said sorry and there were tears running down my cheek. I truly said sorry. When did we last say sorry to the Lord? When did we last repent? Every day we should know this mourning in the soul. As we wrestle with the Lord, the Lord teaches that, does he not, in the directory for prayer. But then further, are we not to feel our unworthiness? Now Jacob, you had already in prayer mentioned his unworthiness. Turn with me to verse 10 of chapter 32. We'll read verse 9 as well. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country, unto thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. I am not worthy. See, Jacob, he feels his unworthiness. In contrast, the Lord is so worthy, isn't he? What a thought. We engage in prayer with one who is so worthy, yet we are unworthy. And here's Jacob, he's weeping, he feels sorrow, he feels his unworthiness. Who are we to come to God in prayer? We feel our unworthiness. Oh, what grace we're allowed to continue in prayer. We come humbly, we come in a penitent way, feeling our unworthiness. Remember the lost son in Luke 15, verse 17? And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." No more worthy, not worthy, not worthy to belong to the Lord, are we? Not worthy. Here's Jacob, he's been humbled, he's wrestling now really so often on his knees, and he knows that penitency within. There's that sorrow within his heart. He feels his sin. He feels unworthy. You know how it is when the heart begins to swell up and your eyes redden and tears begin to trickle down. You feel your weakness. You feel your unworthiness. Forgive me, Lord. You know how it is. Sometimes you pray and then you're convicted. Lord, forgive me. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. Oh, to seek the Lord and his forgiveness. Forgive me, bless me. Now consider further, he's weeping. Not only because he feels his sin, but he's so desirous of blessing. I will not let thee go till thou bless me, except thou bless me. And he's weeping here. He's so earnest. Lord, I need thee. I cannot go one more day without thee. It's a good thing, isn't it, when we're brought to that point. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I cannot get through this day without thee. I cannot get through this week without thee. I cannot get through this difficulty, this hurdle without thee. I'm weeping, Lord. I need thee. He's so earnest. Please bless me, Lord. There's tears because he feels his sin, but there's tears because he's so earnest. He knows he so needs the blessing. It's a good place to be, isn't it? On our knees. Feeling our unworthiness, but knowing we so need favour and the blessing of the Lord. See, there's progression here, isn't there? He begins, he's wrestling, he's standing, but then he's humbled. So often he's found on his knees now, he's clinging on, he's weeping, he's so earnest, he knows he needs God. He knows he needs the blessing from him. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I need thy blessing, Lord. I don't deserve it, but I need it. I can face tomorrow with thy blessing. Oh, dear congregation, when we are on our knees, humbled and penitent, looking up to the Lord, so often then we know the blessing, as we see here tonight. And that leads us to consider, secondly, blessed. Blessed. Now come with me first of all to verse 26. And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And then verse 29, Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. He blessed him there. And have we not often known blessing in the place of prayer? We come maybe in the night time, when we may have had a long day. And we come to the Lord, we began to wrestle, and we become aware of the Lord. And we're there looking up to him. Lord, I need thy blessing. And blessing comes. And we begin a new day. And we're acknowledging the blessing of the Lord. When we come together often to plead for blessing, we have known blessing. But just notice again verse 26. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Here he is wrestling. I need thy blessing. I'm not giving up. Through grace, Jacob prevailed in this prayer, in this wrestle, and blessing he knew. Now consider here firstly, Jacob desired blessing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we've been blessed so much, yet we can go to God again and desire more blessing. Let me give this example in light of the New Testament. We've been saved by grace. We've been supported, strengthened by grace. My grace is sufficient. Yet we can go again to the Lord for the blessing of more grace. He giveth more grace. We desire more blessings. We've been blessed so much. He daily loadeth us with benefits. We're loaded, aren't we? Yet here we see we can go again for more blessing. And more blessing we need. Well, here Jacob, he desires blessing. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he wrestles on. He perseveres. He will not give up till he is blessed. Here we see that wrestling with the Lord for blessing. Now let's put this all into context. He engaged in this wrestle. It began with grace. It begins with grace, doesn't it? What a grace it is that we can come to the Lord in prayer. What condescension that the Lord allows us to wrestle with him. It begins with grace. We wrestle on because of grace. Through grace we are permitted to prevail in prayer, as we see in the New Testament as well. Through grace, therefore, blessing comes. Blessings come through grace. It's all of grace, isn't it? What we have, the blessings we know, it's because of grace. Yes, we wrestle with the Lord, but it's grace, isn't it? That we're allowed to wrestle, allowed to prevail in prayer. Oh, what blessings come through grace. Well, let's just open this up a little. As we think of the blessing here, he was blessed there at Peniel. First of all, and particularly in light of this here, the blessing of protection. The blessing of protection. You remember Esau was before him, and Jacob had wronged his brother, and he was fearful. Come and meet to verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels, into two bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. See then here, Jacob, he's fearful of his brother. When he will meet him, will he smite me? You see, he's in that panic there, that Esau's going to smite some that were sent before. Yet the blessing of protection is given to Jacob. And oh, we see that, do we not, in chapter 33. There's the reunion. Just come with me to verse 3 of chapter 33. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And why did that take place? Because of the blessing that was given at Peniel. The blessing of protection. The blessing of care. And oh, what a comfort it is tonight, is it not? The Lord's blessing is for his people at the beginning of this week. The blessing of protection. And the blessing of care. There may be something on the horizon you're concerned about. It may be meeting someone. I must admit I've never been faithful at meeting my sister. Never once been faithful at meeting my sister. And I don't think my sister's been ever faithful of meeting me. But there may be someone you're faithful of meeting them. Maybe in the workplace tomorrow. Or in the community. Maybe in the college or school. Sometimes you get fearful of having to see that person again. I've told you this before, but it's a helpful illustration. In my second job, there was a particular gentleman. He had a wooden leg. He was a gardener in one of the homes in the New Forest area. And to begin with, all seemed well. I got on well with him. But then he turned his back on me and used to whisper behind my back. And used to say things, used to mock me. And I have to admit, I was a little fearful when I went into that part of the firm, and there he was. He would just stare at me. This went on for years. But what a happy end it was. I came to leave the firm, and he wanted to see me. "Aaron, I've got something to show you." And in his pocket, he picked out a New Testament. "I've been reading this. I read the Psalms every day." I was fearful of him to begin with, but the Lord used it for good. There may be someone you're fearful of, but there's the blessing of care and protection. Like I knew in the workplace, how God cares for you. What a blessing that is, isn't it? We read in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He cares. What a divine blessing that is. The care of the Lord. And we can go forward, if the Lord spares, into this new week with the blessing of his protection and his care. He will surround us. In Psalm 34 verse 7 we read, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." There's the angel of the Lord again. The Son of God, the angel of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant, encamping. Oh, the care and protection of Christ. What a blessing. The Lord blessed him at Peniel with care and protection. We see the evidence of that in the 33rd chapter when he met Esau. And the Lord blesses you. You wrestle with the Lord. Lord, look out to me tonight. Look out to me tomorrow. Watch over me. Care for me. You will know the blessing. He does not slumber nor sleep, does he? He watches over us with his watchful eye. How he cares. What a blessing. To know we will be protected. We will be cared for. Secondly, as we think of the blessing here, there was the blessing of more grace. Of more grace. He had known grace, but more grace. Strengthening grace. Yes, we see that he was a little fearful, but there was care and protection for him. And there was a strengthening. Jacob was humbled at Peniel. He was penitent at Peniel, but he's blessed with more grace. What do we read in James 4 verse 6? "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth more grace unto the humble." And there Jacob was aware of God's grace at Peniel. Oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have known God's grace. But oh, may we know more grace. We wrestle with the Lord. Lord, more grace, please. "Thou hast said in my word, thy grace is sufficient for me." My grace is sufficient. Oh, for more sufficient grace as I go forward, O Lord. There's things on the horizon, more grace. And the Lord blesses with more grace. He giveth more grace. What a blessing that is. What a benefit. Think of those words. He daily loadeth us with benefits. He has handfuls of grace to give to his people, and we receive more grace. Oh, go on this week. There's more grace for you. What do we read in the benediction? "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Many years ago, I was so convinced of pronouncing the benediction. You do not want to go away hearing a prayer of mine. You want to go away with hearing the blessing or the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And it's a comfort, isn't it? There the apostle, he desired that the blessing of the grace of the Lord would be towards him. And we go, we wrestle with the Lord. Lord, more grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. More grace. Jacob knew more grace on the next day. Thirdly, the blessings of acceptance. The blessings of acceptance. Come with me to verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. We see he was blessed. He was accepted. But let's go back to verse 27. "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." His name was Jacob, supplanter, but now it's Israel. For what do we read here? "For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." He was accepted. What a blessing to be accepted. Our prayer to be accepted through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray amiss at times. But the Lord takes that which is right and presents it to the Father. There's acceptance. We can go forward. We can go to and enter a new day. Fourthly, the blessing of forgiveness. We've already thought that he wept there as he wrestled. He felt his unworthiness. He was blessed. He knew he was forgiven. It's a blessing to be forgiven, isn't it? The psalmist makes that plain in the 103rd Psalm, verses 1 through to verse 3. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And what's the first benefit that is listed there in the psalm? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities?" What a blessing. We come to the Lord in prayer. We seek fatherly forgiveness. And fatherly forgiveness is bestowed. What a blessing. And what a joy it is when we know again the light of his countenance. And that peace within. Oh, what a blessing to know fatherly forgiveness. We seek forgiveness each day, don't we? What a blessing to know fatherly forgiveness. Fifthly, another blessing here was that Jacob was assured that the Lord would deal well with him. Come with me to verse 9. And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." Now notice here, Jacob, he presents this in prayer to the Lord. "And I will do well with thee." He's blessed. The Lord has and would deal well with him. And that's a blessing, isn't it? The Lord is so merciful. The Lord helps us. He deals well with us, doesn't he? We have no complaints. What a full blessing. He deals well with us every time, even when we're humble. Convicted, he's dealing well with us, isn't he? He is that shepherd who cares, who deals well with the sheep. Isaiah 40 verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." What a blessing. You see there the shepherd dealing well with the sheep. He deals well with you. He dealt well with Jacob. What a blessing. Sixthly, the blessing of preservation. as we will consider in a moment. Verse 13. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just consider this. We're coming to a great and a holy God in prayer. We engage in prayer, and we're still here. We commune with him who is thrice holy, and we know life preserved. We know blessing. Well, we must draw to a close. There's one more on the blessing. The blessing of the renewed promise of the land, of the inheritance. And we see that, do we not, fulfilled in chapter 35. He blessed them there. Jacob knew that the promise was renewed. There would be a wonderful inheritance. Just turn over the page to chapter 35 and verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. He blessed him at Peniel with the renewed promise. And there again we see it in chapter 35. What a blessing to know all is well for the soul. To have the promise renewed, there is an inheritance laid up for us. We're blessed, and it's precious, isn't it? When the Lord draws near, we've been praying, and the comforts come, and we know all is well, and heaven is before us, and the promises are yea. Oh, the blessing there. Well, we must draw to a close. Time has passed so quickly. Thirdly and finally, preserved. Preserved, this is a great blessing. Let's just notice this in closing. Come with me to the 30th verse. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He had an encounter with the Lord, and his life was preserved. Remember the shepherds, they were so fearful. They saw the glory of the Lord, but they were preserved. And they came to know Christ. Preservation. But are we not thankful for it? There's preservation. And Jacob on the new day could go forward knowing that the Lord had been favorable and knowing that the Lord had preserved him. We are a preserved people. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's begun that work and he will perform, and on the way, blessings will keep coming down upon your head. He'll bless you again and again. There'll be more grace. Are we not thankful? We are preserved. We are a preserved people. Now consider in closing, there was a new day for Jacob in verse 31. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He wouldn't forget, as he went forward on this new day, that his life has been preserved, that he had this engagement, this wrestle with the Lord. The sun arises upon him. He was wrestling in the night unto the broken break of the day. When the light's coming, he knows blessing them, and the sun arises. What peace would have filled Jacob's heart. A new day, and he's a blessed man. What a blessing it is to wake up knowing we are blessed. A new day before us, our life has been preserved, and we're blessed again with more grace and more strength. We can go on like Jacob. The sun's arising on this new day, and we can go on. We can face the future. We can face the hurdles that may be in our way, the Esau's in life, the valleys, the storms. We can go on. We can face the future because there is the blessing of the Lord, and there are fresh mercies each morning. The sun arises upon Jacob. Oh, he feels that calm to some measure, that peace within. He's aware of the mercy of the Lord. Lamentations 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There's Jeremiah. He is aware of the faithfulness of the Lord, of the mercy of the Lord. He feels it. You think on a new day when the sun is out, the Lord willing, we shall see the sun tomorrow. I've got a gardening job to do in the morning, and thankfully the sun is going to be out. Sadly, the rain's coming back in the afternoon. But the sun is out, and we feel the warmth of the sun, and it refreshes our hearts, doesn't it? Oh, Jacob, on this new day, he feels the warmth of the sun, but he's refreshed by the mercy of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord. Oh, tomorrow to feel that the Son of Righteousness has arisen upon us, that we're blessed by the Lord, we feel his mercy, we feel his grace, and there's good hope, isn't there? Because the Lord blesses us with these things. We're blessed with preservation. A new day will come until we come to the desired haven. There may be a night time, but there will be a new day. The sun will arise, and we'll know a measure of peace in our hearts. Amen.